the way that David leads singing. He always smiles at you. I don't know whether he's smiling because he's happy or whether he's listening to us sing. But anyway, he does a great job. He really does, doesn't he? Amen? Amen. Yeah. And I like that. I really do appreciate him very much. You know, one of the great lessons of the Bible is found in and nestled, if you will, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to ask tonight if you brought your Bible to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke 15 and verse 11. The narrative that we read here, and that really is what it is a story, if you will, that we often call the prodigal son. Now, the Bible really doesn't call this the story of the prodigal son. We have often labeled various writings within the Bible and designated them in certain titles and give them names. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus never called the Samaritan good. He never said, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. If you go back and read that, you'll find that to be true. He just simply called him a certain Samaritan. But in this particular case, in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, the Bible refers to a man who had two sons. And, you know, if you read this story, you probably see maybe your own children sometimes in Luke chapter 15. I want to read, beginning in verse 11, and we're going to read this story as it occurs here. And then we're going to go back and discuss it in great detail here. And I told you, some of you this morning, that tonight's lesson is entitled, Will God Run? Will God Run? So pick up the reading with me, if you will, in verse 11. The Bible said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead, and now he is alive. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came near and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And answering and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me the kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with the harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I think one of the greatest lessons in all the Bible on the subject of forgiveness is found right here in the book of Luke, chapter 15. If you remember, the book of Luke, chapter 15, starts out with one parable that our Lord told about a man that had 100 sheep, and he left that 99 to find the one. And then down in about verse 5, the Bible talks about the woman that had 10 pieces of silver, and she too lost one piece, and they swept the house until they found it. And now Jesus begins to illustrate unto us how important forgiveness is by talking about two and only one was lost. But in actuality, he unfolds for us that both sons were lost and estranged from the Father. There are several things I want you to notice in this lesson tonight. The first one is the progressive nature of sin. I told you that the Bible doesn't really refer to this younger son as the prodigal son. You know, for a long time, I used to think the word prodigal meant wayward. And there's a song that we often sing in our hymnal, God is calling the prodigal. And I used to think that the prodigal just meant the wayward son. And that really isn't what it's talking about at all, for the word prodigal actually means wasteful. And what had happened was that this young son had taken a trip to the foreign country. And if you remember, the charge that was brought against him by his brother was that he wasted the father's inheritance or the substance that the father had given him before he died. He had wasted it in riotous living. He had been living with the harlots and really living it up. Knew he couldn't do that back home, so he had to get away into the foreign country where he could kind of let his hair down a little bit and do what he wanted to do. But there is a story here of, to me, the progressive nature of sin. This is not a fairy tale. It is a parable, however, and Jesus begins to illustrate for us just how important it is for us to learn from this parable. Jesus often told parables related to the kingdom. It is a story, and obviously it could have been played out in the days of Jesus over and over and over again. And by the way, it could be played out, and no doubt is played out, in our world every day. How many siblings and children do you know? And you know, they're all different, aren't they? You know, our children are all different, our two daughters. And I'm sure that many of you could say the same thing about your children, that they're all different, you know, different personalities. Well, that was the story here in this particular lesson that Jesus told. This man had two sons. One was lost in the foreign country, but one was lost at home. There was that progressive nature of their sin, however. The one goes to the foreign country. First of all, I thought it really was a sinful thing for this young son, because he certainly had no respect for his father, to go to him and ask the father to give him his inheritance early before the father dies. You know, one of the early commandments of God, really one of the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, was to honor your father and your mother. And certainly this young son, I think, did the wrong thing by approaching his father and saying, give me my inheritance early. But he did. And I also think it was a sign of disrespect when he took it. And when he went to the foreign country, you know, a lot of young people today just cannot wait to get away from home. I want to do my own thing. And this obviously was the mentality of this young man. But then in this same story, the Bible talks about the other son. And I guess probably this story could just as easily be called the story of the elder brother as much as it could be called the story of the prodigal son. Someone has appropriately said that in actuality, it was the story of the bereaved father. It was the story of a saddened dad, and in reality, it was. But both of these men were lost, these boys, and they were lost in the same way. Three ways they were lost. Three things happened. First of all, there was selfishness. The young son demands of his father the inheritance, but after he goes away and he comes back and the elder brother hears all of the festivities going on back up at the house, he's a little upset about what's going on. And so he asked one of the hired servants, first of all, it was a disrespect. Why didn't he go into where the father was and ask him what was going on? But he asked one of the servants, he said, "What's going on? I hear music and dancing, and obviously there's something going on up there that I didn't know about." And the servant says to him, he says, "Well, you know, your brother that was lost and estranged from you and your father, well, believe it or not, in his destitution, he has come back home. He has come back, and your father decided to kill the fatted calf, and he's decided to make merry with all of his friends, and so he's invited everybody in." Well, the elder brother is in rage about what goes on. The father finally has to come outside and entreat this older brother to come into the house and to greet his brother. And I think even the terminology that is used here is something worth taking note of. For when he says something to the father, he says, "This thy son who was lost has come back home." He doesn't even refer to him as his own brother. But I think it's also interesting that in the closing verses of this text, the father in this story says to him, "Your brother," he doesn't say "my son," but he says, "when thy brother came back home, it was meet that we make merry and that we rejoice." But the sin that separated him was the sin of selfishness. The older brother was just as wrong as the younger brother. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, you know, that older brother had a right to be upset because that young son came back home." No, folks, that's not right. For when that young son came back home, he came to the realization of his own sin and his separation from God. For he says, "Not only have I sinned against thee, but I have sinned against heaven." And so he made the resolution to come back home. But nowhere in the Word and in this story do we ever read where that elder brother ever had a reconciliation with his younger brother or with his father. And more especially with his God. The younger son in verse 12 says, "Give me that portion that falleth to me." It was an act of disrespect. But in actuality, if the father had given him his portion even before he died, was it not his to do with what he wanted to do? Surely it was. But the elder brother became upset. And so now they're both separated from the father. The young son went to the foreign country, but the older son separated himself from the father at the home place. So you have the sin of selfishness and then separation. They chose to do it. Then you have another sin, the sin of rebellion. The Bible says that this younger son wasted his father's substance in riotous living. At least that's the charge that the elder brother had brought against his younger brother. In verse 15. But then back home, you find the rebellion of the older brother in so much that he wouldn't even go in to the house. Now, folks, let me tell you something, what this story is really all about. Some people say it's a story about the Jew and the Gentile. You know what it's really about? It's about us. We have many prodigal sons within the church of the living God. But you know what? We have many elder brothers as well. We have many prodigal sons that go astray, and they miss the mark, and they get caught up in sin again. They do the wrong things. They say the wrong things. They act anything but Christian. And they come back. And many of us within the Lord's church take that elder brother position, unforgiving, unrelenting, and we say, "I wonder how long they'll be faithful this time." You know, the Pharisaical attitude is a terrible thing. And that really is what it was all about. And I really think this is what Christ is talking about in this story. You know, God has a way of bringing each of us down to our knees to see things for what they really are. Physically, you've heard me say before, I think sometimes God deals with us in different ways, whatever it takes to get to us. He knew how to get to that younger son. God allowed him, if you will, in this story to do anything that he wanted to do. But he knew that someday he would reach a point of destitution and starvation. And God then says, "Now will I act upon his heart." And that's exactly what he did. Because of his destitution, he has been relegated to feeding swine, which was probably the lowest of the low in the eye of most young Jewish boys. For the swine back during the days when Jesus told this story was unclean, unlike today's world. But there couldn't have been anything more humiliating for this young boy to feed swine and to carry the slop bucket, if you will, out to the hog pen every day. But he did. God knew how to get to him. The social life that he had been living now has been changed. He's not like the young man that went into the foreign country and there he had all the money and he's flashing it around everywhere and perhaps making a lot of so-called fast friends. But now he's in the hog pen. Destitute. He didn't even have enough food to eat for himself. And he desired even the husk which the hogs did eat. But he said, "No man gave unto him He is depraved not only physically and socially, but financially and psychologically and spiritually." Can you imagine the humiliation of this young man? Looking back on his life and probably saying to himself, "What have I done?" But in a moment of great depth of thinking, he says to himself, the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, "I'll go back to my father and I'll say, make me as a hired servant." He says, "For my father has bread enough and to spare." So out of his respect for his father, he goes back home, not asking to be restored to sonship. But he goes back saying, "Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant. Let me work here on the farm." But the Bible says that when the father saw him a great way off, the Bible says that he ran, in verse 20, had compassion, fell on his neck, and kissed him. You know, that story gives me a glimpse of what God is really like to the wayward, to the estranged. Obviously, this father must have been looking down that path where that young son went away every day, waiting for his return, waiting for him to come back home. Sometimes our young people storm out the door and they leave, and they say, "I'm never coming back." And oftentimes we walk out and we look down that path thinking, one of these days they will, perchance. And so it must have been that this father had looked down that long path many, many times, just waiting for that son to come back home. And one day, perhaps at the home place, he's maybe doing chores himself, or perhaps sitting out on the front porch or whatever, and he looks down that path and he gets a glimmer of something moving in the far distance. And he begins to look again. And he recognizes him to be his son. And so the father lays everything aside and he runs to his son. He didn't wait for his son to get back home to give him a lecture. He didn't wait for him to come back and to hear the father say, "I told you so." But the Bible says that he ran and he had compassion. He fell upon his neck and he kissed him. And you know what? Let me tell you something about this story, and it's really unusual. This young son had made that resolution to go back home. He had already plotted out what he was going to say. He said, "I will rise and I will go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.'" But look in verse 20. "But when he arose, he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him.'" You see, the robe was also a sign of sonship. And back during those days, they gave them what they called the signet ring, which really was a symbol of their sonship. The slaves at the farm often went without shoes. But the father was very careful to make this young son understand, "Hey, we're going to make sure the ring's on your finger. We're going to make sure you got the best robe on. And we're going to make sure that you have shoes on your feet, because you're not a hired servant, but you are my son." He didn't put him on probation, but he ran to him. You know, in some way, I see God in this picture running to us when we have estranged ourselves from him by our selfishness and our choice of separating ourselves from God and from the church that results in our sinful condition. I see God waiting, like that father looked down that beaten path, for that son to come home. I see God waiting for the wayward today, looking, waiting to embrace us and to forgive us. I wish I could tell you the story ended right there, but it doesn't. The story actually ends on a sad note, because what happened following this was really an aura of sadness. You would like to think that the young son came back home and all ended well, and they all lived happily ever after, but that isn't what happened at all. For that elder brother, who had separated himself by selfishness and by his sin as well, never got over it. You know, there are some people in the church sometimes that never get over their action. They just cannot bring themselves to the point of repenting and saying, "I was wrong." You know, that really is the story of Esau in the Old Testament, isn't it? You know, the Bible says that Esau sought place for repentance, but found none. I think that's one of the saddest statements in all the Bible. He wanted to repent, but he could find no place to do it. It's like people tell me oftentimes, "One of these days I'm going to come back to the Lord and to the church," and they never do it. Down deep inside there's that want to do it, but the want to do it is not as strong as the compelling force of the evil one who holds us away. The elder brother is so upset with his father that he does not come in to rejoice over the restoration of his brother. Well, I told you the title of the lesson tonight is, "Will God Run?" Yes, he will. And in this story, I think it is obvious, for in the story, God is the Father. He is. And we're His children. Some prodigal sons, but some of us are elder brothers. When our lives are filled with sin and we give no thought to God at all, will God still own us as His own? Does He love us when we fall? When our backs on Him are turned and we seek to go our selfish way, will God forgive us of it all? Does He care when we go astray? No matter how wicked we may be, God loves us with a love unfeigned. He loves us in spite of all that we do, even though He's deeply grieved in pain. No matter how far we choose to go, He looks and waits for our return. He patiently waits with outstretched arms, for our well-being is His great concern. He's ever willing to receive us back, regardless of the things that we've done. For He watches down that lonesome road, eager to exclaim, "Welcome home, my son." We scarce can understand at all how loving and forgiving God can be, but His amazing grace is always there that we His forgiveness might receive. Amazing grace, how wonderful it is to have a Father who loves us so. He'll claim us as His very own if only back to Him we'll go. For He loves us more than we can ever know. And once that trip back home's begun, why, He'll rush to greet us on our way, for He will even run. Yes, God will even run. Sometimes we estrange ourselves from God, but He still watches. He still waits. He's waiting tonight. Perchance, maybe even in this audience, there's one who has separated yourself from God by your selfishness and by your rebellion. You'll only go deeper into sin. And the way to forgiveness is the way back home. Maybe tonight you feel down deep inside the need for forgiveness. We've sung one invitation song today, and we've offered the call of Jesus, and we're going to do it again tonight. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you feel down deep inside that something's just not right, and God isn't the one who moved, it was me, I turned away from Him, and He lovingly waits for our return. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then you can obey the Lord and know His great love and His compassion, and He's waiting for you tonight while we stand and while we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is